Our first hymn for this morning is hymn 729. Rise. I invite you to follow our order of worship that's found printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin this morning's worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are feared. Since we are gathered here to hear God's word, to call upon him in prayer and praise, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and each other that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus, he gives the power to become the children of God and gives them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. To God on high. Christ's birth. We praise and bless you, Father, your holy name we sing. Our thanks for your great glory, Lord God, our heavenly King. To you, O soul begotten, the Father's Son we pray. O Lamb of God, our Savior, you take our sins away. Have mercy on us, Jesus, receive our heartfelt cry. Where you in power are seated, at God's right hand on high. For you alone are holy, you only are the Lord. Forever and forever be worshipped and adored. You with the Holy Spirit alone are Lord Most High. God the Father's glory, amen, our glad reply.
The Lord be with you. We pray. Almighty God, to know you is to know everlasting life. We thank you that you have led us by your Spirit to know your Son Jesus, to be the way, the truth, and the life. Help us to boldly confess him to be the Christ, and steadfastly walk in the way that leads to eternal life. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. For our first reading, we'll be reading responsively selected verses from Psalm 27. That's found printed on page 4 in your bulletin. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
The Lord is the strength of my life. But whom shall I be afraid?
Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion.
In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock.
Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice.
Have mercy also upon me, and answer me.
When you said, seek my face.
My heart says to you, your face, Lord, I will seek.
Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger.
You have been my help. Do not leave me or forsake me, O God of my salvation.
When my father and my mother forsake me,
then the Lord will take care of me.
I would have lost heart unless I had believed.
But I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Wait, I say, on the Lord. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from 2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll read verses 7 through 12. Glory to you, O Lord. In these verses, Paul reminds us that the spirit the Lord has given us is not a spirit of fear, but rather one of faith, one of trust, and of course, one of power in him. Paul writes, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Apostles' Creed on the top of page 6. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn 728.
Thank you.
Please rise. Grace and peace to you from the one who calms the storms in our life, Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application for our daily walk of faith is taken from Matthew chapter 14. We'll read verses 22 through 33. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they cried, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. This Bible account that makes up our text for this morning is about fear and faith in the midst of a storm. Kind of ironic that this is the text that came up this week in the pericope that I use. The pericope is sort of like a preaching schedule or a preaching calendar. It's ironic because throughout this week we've been hearing reports about a giant storm, a Category 4 hurricane that is hitting and currently dumping tons and tons of rain on the folks in Corpus Christi and in the Houston area in Texas. When I think about the times in my life that I have been afraid, been fearful, probably if I think of the time I've been most afraid and even paralyzed with fear, my thoughts usually do travel back to some of the days I lived in Texas, specifically 2008, the last time a hurricane hit that area. I was living by myself as the pastor of the church there in the northern area of Houston when Hurricane Ike made a direct hit on the city. I remember what it was like and what it felt like to ride out that storm overnight, hours and hours of pounding wind and rain against the house. I remember hearing the house that I was living in, which was a brick house, creaking and groaning, feeling like it was almost twisting in the midst of that hurricane force wind. I remember hearing what turned out to be large chunks of the top of two different pine trees hit against the peak of the roof in the middle of the night. And during the worst of the storm's winds, I really wanted to go and just take a look and see what it looked like outside and maybe assess the damage, see what had been, you know, torn down or knocked over. And all I could muster was about a two-second peek between the blinds. And I ran back to the bed, jumped under the covers, and I'd pushed my bed to a middle bedroom in the house. That hurricane was a horrifying event that I will never forget. Some of the fearful moments, the paralyzing fear that made you feel truly helpless against this massive storm that was inflicting itself upon your area, that type of fear you will always remember. It was actually pretty hard for me to even want to look at the footage or hear the reports or see what was going on because I remember what that felt like and looked like just 9 years ago. And my heart hurts for the people who are having to go through that again, which seemed like not too long ago. Have you been that afraid before? Paralyzed with fear, where you wanted to even be brave for a moment or two and you just couldn't do it. Paralyzed with fear, maybe it was during a storm. or maybe for you in this area, maybe it was during the earthquake in 1989. If you've ever felt that kind of fear, you know it's not a good feeling. It's not just moments or incidents in our life that can paralyze us with fear either. Sometimes life itself can paralyze us with fear. If you think about what's going on in your life right now, can you think of something or some things that are bringing fear into your life? What is it that you are afraid of or fearing this week or at this point in your life? In our text for this morning, we read of a situation where the disciples of Jesus were paralyzed with fear. Our text describes them as being terrified. And can you blame them? If you were trying to row a boat on a terrible windstorm like they were facing, in the middle of the night, it's pitch black outside, and you see a figure walking on the lake towards you, do you think you'd be afraid? I would be. Our text tells us when the disciples saw him, Jesus, walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. The figure that was walking on the water towards them, of course, was not a ghost. It was not the scariest premonition their minds could come up with in that moment of terror. No, it was actually the complete opposite. It was their friend. It was their Savior, Jesus. And what did he do to calm their fears? But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." It is I. What better words of comfort or encouragement could Jesus have spoken to his disciples at that moment? If we look at the words in the original Greek, we actually see that Jesus said these words. He said, "Ego I me," literally, "I am." So Jesus actually said to them, "Do not be afraid, take courage, it is I," but he actually said, "I am." So those words weren't just meant to bring comfort to his disciples. They were also a reminder of who he is. He is, "I am God." If you know your Hebrew, you'll know the significance of that phrase. That is the Old Testament name of Jehovah. It means, "I am." Jehovah, or sometimes we say Yahweh. That's what that name means. It means, "I am." The name that God gave to his people as his personal name. The name that reminded the people of his promises, especially his promise to save his people from their sins. It's the perfect name for God because he is the only God who is. And he's the only God who can say, "I am." He's the God who was, who is, and always will be. "I am" is the perfect description of Jesus as well. Because he is Jehovah. Yahweh. He is true God in human flesh. He's just who he claimed to be. Here, when he said, "Don't be afraid, take courage, I am," and he's exactly who he claimed to be in many other "I am" statements during his ministry, many of which you can find in the Gospel of John. Jesus is "I am" because he always is. As the writer of Hebrews reminds us, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The disciples, of course, would have been well aware of this name for God and would have derived comfort from Jesus' words because they knew that name, Jehovah. So Jesus' words to them, "Take courage, I am," were meant to give them that double measure of comfort. Think of how comforting those words still are for us today. What are the fierce winds and the buffeting waves you are facing right now in your life? For millions of people in Texas right now, it is a literal storm. There are literally winds and waves and water rising. That's what they're facing right now. Flooding and devastation and the possibility of more torrential rain on the way. But I'm sure that you have storms in a figurative sense that you're facing in your life right now. We all do. Jesus comes to each one of us walking across the winds and the waves of life that swirl so menacingly around us And he says to us, take courage. It is I. Take courage. I am. Do not be afraid. Jesus is. And Jesus is right here with us. Jesus is standing with us right here in our little boat of life, crossing over the winds and the waves with us, there to comfort us and there to rescue us. But there always is a struggle, isn't there? A struggle between our fear and our faith. It's not always easy to take Jesus at his word and A, trust that he is actually there, and B, trust that he can and will make good on his promises. Our fears so often can easily overpower our faith. We often view our fears as being this powerful, raging windstorm, devastating waves coming upon us, which are just going to overwhelm our tiny little faith that we often picture as this little tiny lifeboat that, yeah, maybe Jesus is in that boat, but we're not sure if that boat's going to actually get us to the shore. Do you think it was easy for the disciples to take Jesus at his word that night in the midst of the raging sea? Remember that only one of the disciples showed enough faith to take Jesus at his word. We don't actually usually give Peter much credit in this story. We think of the end of the story, Peter's lack of faith or his fears taking over. But remember what Peter said when Jesus says, "It is I." Obviously, with the Holy Spirit driving that faith, Peter says to Jesus, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. What fear-conquering faith Peter displayed there in that moment. What even made him think, you know what, if it's really you, Jesus, let me walk on the water towards you. And he did. But what was it that made Peter begin to sink? It's when he took his eyes off the object of his faith. When he took his eyes off of Jesus. The text actually says, when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." He began to look around at the wind and the waves that no doubt were terrifying and looked like they were going to bring him under and cause him to drown, even though he was fine. He was walking on the water with Jesus. It can be very hard not to look at the wind and the waves that swirl around us as well, especially at times when they are particularly troubling or particularly terrifying. It's very easy to lose our focus on Jesus and the fact that he is, and the fact that he is right here with us. Our problems are real. Our struggles are real. Our fears are real. Our fears, in fact, can seem all too real. And Jesus at times can seem all too unreal. We can't see him with our physical eyes. We can't touch him. Sometimes we have a real hard time seeing his work in our lives. So we can easily become afraid and begin to sink, just like Peter. But Jesus reminds us that he is real. Take courage, I am. Do not be afraid. It's been said that courage is not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. Because Jesus is, we can be courageous. Because Jesus is, we can triumph over our fears. Because Jesus is, and we have him by our side, we absolutely have nothing to fear. And when we find ourselves being overcome or drowning in the winds and the waves of the fears of our lives, we can do exactly, and we should do exactly, what Peter did in our text. Cry out to Jesus. "Lord, save me," he cried out. And he did. He has saved us, and he will always. He reached out his hand to Peter and pulled him out of the water, and he reached out his hands on that cross to save us, to take away every one of our sins, to give us the heaven that we did not deserve, to take away the hell that we did deserve, to give us life because of his death and his resurrection. Because he reached out his hands on that cross, we can be certain that he will reach out his hands to us and pull us out of whatever winds and waves we are facing in our lives, just like he reached out to Peter. We read again from our text, "Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. 'You of little faith,' he said, 'why did you doubt?'" Jesus comforts us by calling out to us in our storms, "Take courage. I am. Do not be afraid." But doesn't he also have to gently rebuke us for our lack of trust in him? Doesn't he also have to remind us in his word, "You of little faith," just like he said to Peter, and ask us that searching question, "Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt that I am? Why do you doubt the Son of God, Jesus, our Savior?" Jesus is not some little tiny lifeboat in the midst of the stormy seas of life. He is mighty to save, and he can save completely. Listen again to the last verse of our text. It says, "And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down." If you read this account from the Gospel of John, we hear that Jesus did another miracle at that moment. John tells us that when they let Jesus into the boat, immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. Jesus is able to save completely. And he's able to save us completely as well. Not just to reach down and pull us out of the storms, the troubles, the winds and difficulties of this life, but also take us to the shore of our heavenly home, safely, to be with him forever. Jesus has reached down to save us, but he didn't just reach down, he came down. He came down from his throne in heaven, came down to live amongst the winds and the waves and the storms of this life. He came as one of us, but he came as God with us. Jehovah, Yahweh, the I Am God with us. And he came to die for us, so that we would never drown in the sea of our own sins or be taken over by the waves of our own guilt. And he absolutely proved once and for all that he is who he said he was, the I Am God, at his resurrection from the dead. So because of Jesus, we don't even need to be afraid of our own death. Jesus' resurrection guarantees that our death will actually be not the end for us, but the guarantee of our eternal life. Life everlasting, body and soul, with him forever in heaven. That is what's waiting for us when he comes again to receive us to himself. So Jesus has gathered us, his disciples, his followers, here today in his house, away from the storms, away from the winds and waves of life. And he has come to us once again today with these words of comfort and encouragement. Take courage. Take courage. I am. Do not be afraid. How are we going to respond to Jesus' words? Will we respond with fear or with faith? May we respond to Jesus' words the same way the disciples did when they received him into the boat. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen.
You may be seated. An offering from our thankful hearts will now be received. Continue with our next hymn, hymn 752.
Thank you.
Please rise. In our prayers for this morning, we'll be praying for the people of the Corpus Christi and Houston area who have been affected by the hurricane and the current flooding, including the brothers and sisters of our congregation in Corpus Christi and the Houston area. I've talked with the pastors of both churches, and they and the members are doing well, and many of them are not in the worst areas of the flooding and storms, so we thank the Lord for their safety and pray for continued relief from the flooding. Any other prayer requests for this morning? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you alone are God. You alone can do all things. We acknowledge that you are in control of all things, this universe, this world, our lives, and our very souls. But we confess, Lord, that we have not always trusted you. Our faith in you has not always overcome our fear. Forgive us, Lord, and wash us completely from our sins. Dear Lord, give us strength to serve you, courage to commit all things to you, and faith to trust you in all things. O merciful God and Father, creator of heaven and earth, we come before you today awed by the expression of your power in the recent hurricane and distressed in heart at the loss of health, life, home, property, and necessities that so many have experienced in Texas. We thank you, Lord, for your protection and for your mercy in keeping so many people, including my family members and loved ones, safe during and after the storm. By this visitation and powerful reminder of the passing of all things, help us to look to you for that which is eternal. We pray that you would comfort those who have lost loved ones, who have lost home and property in the storm and flooding, and we pray that you would give hope to those whose hope has vanished. We ask you to be merciful, to restore power quickly, and if it be your will, to cause the rains to stop and prevent further flooding and devastation. With the tender touch of your mercy, we also ask you, dear God and Savior, to look upon any and all who are sick or hurting in any way. Treat with compassion all who suffer, all who are weak or weary or worn and sad. With the promise of your presence, cheer those who are lonely. Bless the fatherless and widows. Help the needy. Strengthen our faith in you, dear Jesus. We believe in you. Help our unbelief. In your name we pray these things as we pray now the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Our closing hymn is hymn 717.
You turn of Father, Son to sin.
you. In the name of our Savior Jesus, welcome our guests and visitors who are with us today. We invite you to come and worship our Savior with us again in the near future. A few announcements for this week. Today, after the service in East Bay, I'll be heading down to do our Southern California service. This time will be held in Corona, California. We're trying that location to see if that's a bit more advantageous for the people who live scattered throughout the LA and San Diego areas. And I have some visits tomorrow morning before I come back tomorrow evening from that trip. This week, tomorrow, Monday, at 7 p.m., we have Women's Auxiliary Meeting at the Drew's Residence. Is that correct? Okay. Tuesday, we'll be having the Stockton Area Service. We'll be having it at the Atria Assisted Living for the first time. I'll get to have the service there. We're going to have it there now every last Tuesday of the month. So we ask your prayers on that endeavor. It should be nice to have some of the residents join us for our services there. We'll be having communion and Bible study then following that at the Niblet Residence in Stockton. Wednesday, we have Villa Fontana service at 11 a.m. That is the last Wednesday of each month. And Friday, a reminder, there is no school at SSLS this week in staff service day. Next Sunday, Bible class will be its usual time once again at 9 a.m. Worship service at 10. We'll be celebrating communion next Sunday. Any other announcements I'm forgetting today? Yes, Pastor Ryan.
I want to commend the officers impressed with the way in which the government and citizenry of the country has been moving to deal with the disaster. You're in such a position from the previous experience, you know what a problem is, but I would ask you. This is hearing a report on the radio as we go to Sheriff Street. Couldn't help but be grateful that it was just genuine concern at work.
That, I would say that was the one real bright spot going through the hurricane in 2008, and I'm sure it's going to happen this one too, was the goodwill and the togetherness and the helpfulness of everyone after the hurricane was done. It was heartwarming and great. Like, people had their freezers shut down for days, so everyone just had a block party and grilled meat and helped each other out. So I'm sure that's going to be happening, and you'll hear reports of that down there too. So remember that God does work a lot of really good things, especially in really bad situations. So thank you for that reminder as well. Any other announcements today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.